Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who has received so much recognition for his work on behalf of small business that he had to get a bigger mantle for his awards and a wider door for his head.
You have reached the transmitting signal for the big giant head. All big giant circuits are busy right now. Please stay on the line.
Mr. Humble, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you for staying with me. Hope you check out my website when you get a chance, smallbusinessadvocate.com. One of the reasons to go there is to learn more about what Ted Fishman has taught us over the years. Ted's a great member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of China Inc., which has become one of my favorite books. I talk about it all the time on the show, as you know, and I mentioned it last night. I had dinner with some folks last night, and I mentioned his book to them, and it's a very important book, and others. He's got a new book out on the aging of the global population. And he's our good friend, Ted Fishman. Welcome back to the show.
So glad to be with you, Jim.
Ted, I've got the name of your second book on the tip of my tongue. I'm on the road.
It's Shock of Gray.
Shock of Gray. Thank you.
That's a book you don't want to forget. Yeah.
I know. I could see the cover in my eye, but I couldn't get the words out.
That very phenomena inside the book.
Thank you so much, Ted. I feel much better now. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's the phenomenon is called early onset, Ted, and I think I was having a Perry moment. Yes, poor Governor Perry. He's going to wind up becoming a metaphor, isn't he? A Perry moment.
A Perry moment. What I say about those moments in Shock of Gray is that they make us panic, but they are so normal, they're really not a sign of any kind of
decline or anything. I know. But when 100 million people are watching your television, it kind of locks you up a little bit. Hey, Ted, you just got back from a trip across the pond to the west, and you were in the east. You were in China and Tibet. Tell us what you found in Tibet. Remind the audience where Tibet is and tell us why we should care.
Okay, Tibet is the largest province in China geographically. It's between, historic China and India and Nepal. And it is, of course, a place that has a very troubled history. But the Chinese built this amazing engineering marvel, this train that goes up the high plateau to Tibet. So I was part of a business meeting that was on that train for 44 hours. I think our host wanted a very captive audience.
Wow.
And we took the train. When you're on the train, you walk through the train and you see lots of Tibetans because Tibetans are doing business inside the eastern coast cities of China quite often. And you travel through a very different part of China than is the picture of it. It's very empty, it rises towards the Himalayas. There's yaks all over the place. And the train ultimately arrives in the capital of Tibet, which is Lhasa, the historic home of the Dalai Lama.
Right.
And there's a glistening new train station there. You get out of the train. One of the first thing that greets you is a Chinese military presence. I was there during a week, which was a troubled week in the Tibetan capital. Some nuns had set themselves on fire. There had been protests by monks. The Communist Party headquarters had a bomb attack.
Wow.
And it really looked kind of like the scene of a city, when you think of a war movie and an occupation, soldiers everywhere, snipers on roofs.
Why are the Tibetans who refuse to, they just refuse to comply with what the Chinese want? What's the problem with these two?
Well, yes, the Tibetans haven't totally refused to comply with what the Chinese want, but they don't see themselves as a Chinese place. At least the protesters don't. They see themselves as a historically Tibetan place.
But why do the Chinese demand this kind of compliance?
The Chinese went to war with India in 1960, and Tibet was one of the contentious territories in that. And the Chinese have argued that, as they always do in territorial disputes, that they have a historic claim to Tibet. Tibet is strategically important to them because it's a buffer between China and India.
Right. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line right there, isn't it, Ted?
Well, also the resources. You know, China is a big country. It likes to have breathing room. So Lhasa, the capital, has about doubled in size because Chinese immigrants have come in. So the ethnic complexion of the city is changing very radically. I stayed in the center of the city, which is very, very Tibetan. But once you get outside the center, it starts to look like any boom town in China. Cranes everywhere, new buildings going up, Chinese people pouring in to live there.
Chinese people pouring into Tibet?
Yes, so that's one of the strategies to xenophy Tibet, which is to overwhelm the local population.
To dilute them.
That's right.
Basically.
And
Tibet
has a small population, so it's
We're going to come back and continue our discussion on China and spread it over into what China, how China is going to be for America, what impact it's going to have on America over the next several years. Quick break, 22. Ted Fishman's our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.